You have found Authentic Business Adventures, business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Downloadable audio episodes of the Authentic Adventures business program can be found in the podcast link found at drawincustomers.com. We are locally underwritten by the Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, entrepreneur, author, speaker, and helpful coach to small business owners across the country. And today we're welcoming slash preparing to learn from Pat Miller, the founder of the Idea Collective Small Business Incubator. So Pat, how are you doing today?
I'm great, James. Thanks for having me on. It's great to see you.
I am excited because, first of all, the name Idea Collective is pretty cool. Small Business Incubator, that's our wheelhouse. So how about you tell us, what is the Idea Collective Small Business Incubator?
It's something that we've been building since the pandemic. So let's go back real quick. So the pandemic happens. Mm-hmm. The NBA cancels its season. Yeah. And Tom Hanks gets COVID. Those two events were like the starting gun of, oh my goodness, we're in for something, right? Yeah. All of our support systems melted. All of the meetings stopped. All of the chambers stopped. No one knew what was going on. So I went on a show like this, started broadcasting live every day. And the idea was, listen, we don't know what's going to happen, but we're going to stick together and be positive. We're going to get through this together. So I broadcast this live talk show every day for like 2 months. And people realized, someone said to me, you've got a community here. So over the course of the last 24 months, we've been building this small business incubator. And the concept is, if you're a technology startup, there are support groups and people all over the place that want to give you money to watch you grow. But where are the support groups for florists, photographers, coaches, agencies, dropship folks, anyone that's trying to build their small business? It didn't exist. So we built this online group. And in the online group, we give you three things. We give you collective intelligence, so you learn what you don't know. Inspiration, so you can get ideas that you need to take action and grow. And then collective transformation. And this is like the most important one, because if you're building your own small business, who understands, like really understands the journey that you're on? Believe me, your spouse is tired of hearing about it because they're just, they don't get it. They want to support you, but they don't understand.
True story.
So this group of people, we're all in it together. We're all working under the same guidelines and trying to grow together. So it's an online community that's helping people grow, and it's about 2 years old.
All right. So did you have inspiration and an idea for this before the pandemic, or this just happened more or less during the beginning stages of the pandemic?
Well, it's pretty much a case where you can't be a coach if you don't have a Facebook group, right? So like every coach, we've all got Facebook groups. And I was doing in-person meetings and such prior to the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And then when the pandemic hit, we started the show. And that's when someone said, there's something more here than just a Facebook group. The incubator itself didn't exist until the pandemic. But we had a Facebook group that started getting people together prior to then.
Okay. So the people that come to the incubator, mm-hmm. are they mostly infant type entrepreneurs, or they're just starting out?
I think it's the folks, the solopreneurs who are ready to scale. Not someone that is figuring out how to business. It's usually someone that is up and running, but they want to do better. They want to grow. They're hungry to take the business towards impact. Mm-hmm. Like the people in our group, they're the ones, and I'm sure you work with them all the time. They know that it's not about the money, because they've now realized they love what they do, but if it was about the money, they'd go back to corporate and make more.
Right.
They want to love what they do and make more than they would in corporate. Like those are the people that are primarily inside the group. And by the time they get to 10, 12, 15, 20 employees, they're probably ready for the next stage of their journey, a Vistage or some other leadership group, and God bless. But our group is really for people that have started and they're trying to scale towards success.
Got it. All right. And is most of the content essentially the interaction between the members, or is there content where people are taking classes or things of that nature?
Great question. So we have both. We do daily live events that range from, small business rally point, where we talk to someone smart and learn from them and then do some networking, to live group brainstorming events, to night school where we have straight curriculum, weekly celebration calls. Like we do a little bit of everything. but it is really member to member contact. And I'm just kind of the host. So all it's right. really my job to stir the drink, but the members are the ones that are primarily providing the content and, you know, really working together. It's really cool.
Nice. Was it tough to scale or tough to grow this?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, your podcast isn't long enough for me to explain all the mistakes we've made. Oh man, it has been a rough go.
How about top three mistakes? Let's just go there.
So
challenges, we'll call them.
Challenges. Challenge number one is that a lot of the models that I was familiar with revolved around an audience where someone who has something to say gets people to follow them. Mm-hmm. That's not what we're building. We're trying to build a room where people are talking with one another. So that presents its own challenges.
All right. All right. So you're not offering the soapbox for people to stand on. You're offering essentially a networking room.
It is a room where others can stand on the soapbox, but a lot of the models that are out there is I'm the coach, follow me. And that's not what we're trying to do, something a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So that was a challenge. It didn't scale as quickly as I thought it would. Mm-hmm. I thought we would get more members faster. And that's by no fault of the members. It has everything to do with me and my terrible marketing and communications. Just recently, we figured out how to talk about it. So it is one of the things where, and it's a great reminder. I can see this with other people. I didn't see it with myself. When you lead with features, not benefits, you're going to lose.
Mm.
So I talked all the time about, hey, here's all the stuff we do. You should join. And not, here's why it's important to you and what you're trying to build.
All right.
I think that would be the second big mistake, is I really wasn't talking about it the right way.
Mm.
And gosh, what else did we do that was really stupid? We tried to do member drives. This was really dumb. So, hey, everybody, in the month of October, let's see if we can get 25 people to join. Let's just say. And it sounded good. Like, we'll have a contest and people will win prizes. Yeah,
that seems like a decent idea to me.
Right. It sounds natural. But what I learned was joining the incubator was a very personal decision. And until someone had a had their decision made of why this would benefit them, even if their friend referred them, it wasn't their decision to join. So it didn't work. We never hit our membership goals when we did the membership drive months. And everything in my heart told me, of course, this is going to work. This is going to be great. No, it didn't work at all. And it comes back to what I said earlier about the messaging. I was talking about it wrong. I wasn't getting down to the pain points people really had. And I mean, I'm sure you help people with this all the time when you're just not, you're talking about what's important to you, not important to them. And you're just never going to be successful. And I'm saying that out loud as a reminder to myself to never do it again, because I really wasted a lot of time doing it wrong.
No, I get that with my call answering service. That's been going more than 10 years and I still have that problem. And I feel like Billy Madison shaking that little second grader. Like, don't you get it? It's one of those, but yeah, I still have to figure out why they would make the change rather than why you believe they should make the change. Cause those often don't align.
Yeah.
They aren't the same, I should say. Yeah.
And there's no amount of advertising the wrong thing that's going to work. Right. We can put up a ton of ads that say the wrong thing. It's not going to get the outcome that we all want. So, and those are just a few examples. I mean, you know what the biggest problem was? And this is a bad habit. And I'm not sure if you're like this, but I like figuring things out on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I like thinking, you know what? I can do this. I'm just going to work really hard. As opposed to having the humility to be like, I don't know how to do this. I'm going to go get the help I need. I'm going to read, study, and learn. I'm going to be an audience member and learn from other people. I wish I would have done that 18 months ago.
All right.
I've now opened myself up to it, which is great. And I've made a ton more progress since then. But it's, again, just another, I'm saying it out loud so I don't forget. Other people have figured this thing out. You can go learn from them and then put your own spin on it.
But I'm gonna, I don't place a ton of blame on you for something like that, because I think of a lot of the people that hang their shingle as a professional, whatever, whether that's a coach or a painter or whatever, a lot of the times they're not that good or they're terrible communicators. So the job never gets done.
Yep.
So a lot of the times, just as an example, I'll hear contractors say, oh my gosh, I hate those home improvement shows because everybody thinks that they can do it themselves. And I joke and I'm like, well, they thought that they could hire a contractor, but they tried to call you 10 times. You never answered. You never showed up when you said you would. And every time you send them a bill, it's three times what you said it was going to be. So, you know, I can't blame them for picking up a paintbrush and just seeing like, let's just see how this does. Because I've joked with other people. Like, I remember joking with the financial planner before. This is years ago. And I was like, I can lose money on my own. I don't need to pay you to lose money for me.
Yeah.
It's just one of those, like sometimes, and especially with marketing, there are tons of people that call themselves marketers, but marketing to me is somewhat of a black art that telling the good ones from the bad ones, you almost have to spend money with all of them to try to figure out who knows what they're doing.
No,
because they don't come out and say, I really don't know what I'm doing. I'm working on my mom's basement. I've never tried this before, but I saw it on a video once.
Yeah. Mom's basement marketing might not be the right fit. Right.
Genius. So I guess I understand where you're coming from. Cause part of you is like, just hire a professional. Mm-hmm. And the other part is like, how do I know if they're professional? Cause there's like, I don't know, is it certification, some magic, I don't know, some magic pin that they wear. So, you know,
I just went through the round of hiring someone to help me with my social media.
All right.
And I'm sure folks that are listening and watching to this have also felt this way, where social media feels like a bottomless pit.
Oh, yeah.
Like it is never enough. There's always a mouth to feed as far as content to create and places to post and new emerging tools and techniques. Like that all happens. And then you go to hire someone to help you. And it's really tough to find out who's good and who's not, like you say. And I ended up saying to one of them, listen, I don't care about likes. I don't care about engagement. Of course I do, but I need conversion. I need results. This is how I'm going to judge you, is based on conversion into what I'm trying to build. And, you know, social media is so hard, and the people that do it, I have so much respect for, because not only, as you say, is it practically a dark art to be good at it, mm-hmm. you then have to explain it to people that use social media as a hobby, as a personal user. Mm-hmm. And the way that you and I use whatever we use is way different than they use it.
Totally.
So trying to understand how they're going to affect your business, get you the conversions you need, but then explain it to me in a way that I understand. They've got a really tough job. I found someone who's great. She's amazing. I can't wait for her to get her hands on my accounts, but it was a process to find the right person.
All right. So that's pretty recent that she came on.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, we have our first call happening later this afternoon. Our setup and onboarding call is today.
Okay. So we'll have to circle back in a few months and see what are the results.
Yeah, that's right. We'll judge her.
Everything's honeymoon period now, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Interesting. Yeah. So what have you done prior up until now to attract people to the group?
It has been a lot of, and this is probably a ham-handed way to say it, but hand-to-hand combat. A lot of one-on-one meetings, a lot of showing up and serving the members and reminding the members that if they know someone that would enjoy what they're getting, invite them.
All right.
And really, I have, for the first 18 months of the community, really focused on that user experience and making sure that what happens inside the group is great. I feel like we're getting to the point where we got a good handle on that. So now it's time to pour the gas on the marketing and really try and spread the word across the country and world that this incubator exists, because I see the need for it. Like I see what's out there as far as support systems for small business. And it kind of frustrates me because there's really not this out there. So I'm really trying to spread the word so everyone has a chance to access it.
Sure. Or something like AA just for business owners.
It's funny that you say that, because it wasn't AA, but it was like AARP. Like if you get over a certain age, you join AARP, right?
All right.
Well, if you open a small business, you join this incubator, and there's not like this national association for, it doesn't exist. So I don't know if I can fill it, but I'm certainly going to try because I see it. So hopefully we can figure it out. But that's the vision, right? Crazy vision, right? That's the idea.
I want to talk to you about the members and the difference between joining and actually getting in there and talking with people and going through the educational things. Because I see a lot of groups or even books, people buy the book and they assume that because they spent the 15, 20 bucks on a book, that that knowledge is just instantly transferred to them. That book is sitting on a shelf. Right. So can you tell me about the members and what you have to do to try to get them actually engaged and to utilize the stuff so that they can actually improve?
It's hard. It's hard because it's real time. Like you say, you buy a book, it doesn't download right into your head. Mm-hmm. So we can have all of these programs that we want, but if people don't show up and learn and then implement what they learned, you know, how much benefit are you really going to get? So the people that come to the community and end up leaving, they're the people that don't log in. They're the people that don't engage with the speakers or come to the events. And they're not really putting in the work because they're busy with other things, and good for them. Like, I'm not mad at them, but some of the people that came and then left were looking for something different than what we provide. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we try and do actionable things. So instead of having a high-minded discussion about X, we'll say, let's learn about X and here's how you install it. Like, here's how you take action on it.
All right.
Also inside the incubator, it's a 24/7 group built on Mighty Networks. So you can post in the feed and ask for help. We do laser coaching sessions where people can come in and ask questions, and the Idea Slam creative sessions where people can ask for help and get help. So we're really trying to be there around every corner when they need something. We're there to fill in the gaps. And it's not just me, it's the members too. They're all in it, working together. The tagline of the group is "Don't grow it alone." And that's what we really try and run with, is if you're building your small business, so are we. So we're going to work together till we get there.
All right. The goal when you first started this, where you thought you'd be in, let's say, 3 years, a year and a half, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Are you on track for where you expected to be? Or has it, maybe the track has shifted?
Yeah, well, the track has shifted. The fact that we're still here is so exciting. And the people that are in the group, I just love these people. They get what we're trying to build. They're total believers in what we're trying to make happen. And it wouldn't be a group without them. So first of all, I'm so grateful for who's in the group to begin with. Where we want to go, the next big goal is to get to all 50 states. We're in 11 states right now, 6 countries. We're trying to get to all 50 states. That's what I want to get done in 2021. And then from there, you know, I don't even have a goal after that. 1,000 members, maybe. I don't even know. But all 50 states, that's what we're trying to get done right now.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, do you have any success stories from people that joined, maybe a little apprehensive, and then, I don't know, they became multi-billionaires or something cool like that?
Well, no billionaires yet.
Bought my second jet.
Yeah. We have, okay, there's one woman, her name is Nicole, and I don't have like permission to tell her story, but I'll just tell you about Nicole. Nicole has a corporate job, but she always wanted to be a writer. Hmm. And she started writing content for website and social media and that sort of thing. And she's like, boy, if I could make this my job all the time, that would be fantastic. So she was already writing on the side. She joined the community. She started getting to know people. Business started to come her way. She was volunteering to help people. And just last week, she quit the job that she hated so she could spend more time writing. She's got another job that's less involved, but she's got like the in-between job before she goes solo. Now,
all right.
So that's the latest one of someone really, finding what they're looking for, like that story of transformation of where they were and where they're trying to get to. And she got there by working with the coaches that are in the group, by doing free work for other members in the group and getting feedback from them. She came to the Idea Slam sessions and we built her sales packages. Like, we've been working with her this whole time, and she's smart and driven and all the stuff that you need to be successful. But it's a really cool story, and she's so cool. I'm just so happy for her.
Nice. That is cool.
So that's one example.
How, in Nicole's case, how did she end up finding you? This is a corporate gig. Like, you wouldn't think that she's.
I think she was a referral.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure one of our members sent her in. I don't remember, to be honest, because she's not in the town where I'm at. I'm in the Milwaukee area, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and she's in a totally different part of the state. So I'm pretty sure she was a referral from someone else.
All right.
And she came to our in-person retreat as well. So I think that's how she found us, was through referral.
Nice. Now, as far as the crew that you have running this ship, is it just you, or who do you have on the behind the scenes helping you?
You got to have that.
Yeah.
Right. You can't do it by yourself. I don't have any full-time equivalents yet, although I'm sure that's coming someday, sooner than I'm probably think I'm ready for it. Right. You know how that goes. I've got a bulletproof, just an amazing, I don't know what you want to call her, virtual assistant, online business manager, Susie Moon, blatant plug. She's amazing. And she is basically the director of operations. So she works with the social media person, with the administrative assistant. She manages the CRM. She manages the onboarding, works with the event planners. Like, she is the right hand for everything. So between her and then an army of VAs, that's how we get it done right now.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Now, was it tough to find VAs? Because they're like VAs wide gamut, right? You got the local ones, you got the Philippines, India, whatever.
Sure.
You have companies that are outsourcing Philippines and India.
Mm-hmm.
And just the stay-at-home moms that whatever, good or bad.
Yeah. Right. It is imperative to have one. This is my soapbox. Soapbox, permission to soapbox?
Sure. By
all
means.
Right, great. All right,
soapbox
good.
Soapbox on.
Soapbox. If you're running a small business and you don't have a VA, it is the biggest small business cheat code that you're missing. It is unbelievable how awesome it is to have a VA. And once you start, you'll never not have one. Because if you charge X, you can find a VA that will do it for Y. And every hour that they spend doing it that you're not, you're not just making the difference between what you make and what they make. You're then billing that extra hour or selling an extra dozen roses or whatever it is that you do.
Right.
So that's the soapbox. You have to have a VA. I found Susie through referral, building that personal network, and someone sent me to her. And then what's great is she's helped me find other people.
Oh, nice.
So one person's in a different part of the state. One person's in Denver, Colorado. Who else is on the team? She does have one person that is based in Asia. I don't know where. They're out there, but personal referral, again, it's all about building that network.
Nice. Very cool. Now, you, besides the Idea Collective, do you have coaching as well? Is that right?
Yeah. I run a VIP group. So once you're in the group, then you could be part of a VIP coaching program. I've only got two of those running, but they are intense mastermind programs. We're bringing together groups of six people for a year-long partnership for really focused work and growth, transformation. They become their own little teams, right, as masterminds do.
Mm-hmm.
So I do that. And then I have a few clients as well, some one-off work or a couple of people that were with me before I started the Idea Collective. So a little bit of that as well.
All right. So that coaching, was that happening before the Idea Collective?
Yeah, that's where I started. I left. So I was in broadcasting forever. And I
started, really?
Oh, yeah. I was a pro broadcaster radio guy for college all through the first 22 years of my career. I was morning show, afternoon show, midday show, building radio stations, running radio stations, marketing guy all around the Midwest of the US. And 4 years ago in May, so 3.5 years ago, I left the industry and started consulting small business. So this is all new to me.
So you were running radio stations, putting them up. You were actually the guy in the drive time, whatever.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, screw this.
Well, you know, media is changing. And it at the time I was 43-ish, whatever it was, 43. And the company that I was working for was up for sale. And the position that I was in had, you know, the primary role was to be the promotions person and go up and set up the state fair and Summerfest and, you know, go out to festivals and concerts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are folks with less experience that can do that job. And in radio, that means probably doesn't cost as much as a 43-year-old dude that's been doing it for 20 years.
All right.
So with the station up for sale, I anticipated, okay, I either had to make a choice to go back and be a full-time air talent or a full-time business guy, but where I was probably wasn't going to be there for long.
All right.
And I didn't want to move again, because that's how you stay alive in the radio game, is you move, right? And we kind of liked where we were. So I thought, okay, the worst thing that happened is I go be a marketing guy someplace else. So I left the radio industry and here we are. That was almost 4 years ago.
All right. Just out of curiosity, and this is completely side tangent.
Sure.
What does on-air talent make for money?
Oof, that is a huge...
Now, let's just say local, non-syndicated. You're just a dude sure. with a show.
Yeah. It ranges. And the reason why it ranges is that it's all driven by how much money the station makes
okay.
and how much listenership each day part has.
Sure. So for ad revenue that you're bringing in, essentially.
Exactly. So mornings and afternoons are the most premium locations, primarily.
Okay.
So, you know, if you're in a very, very small market, you might, like, if you're in a market of 100,000 people, let's just say, mm-hmm. right? If you can get a job, because there's not a lot of jobs left
right.
in the radio industry, they're all being consolidated. Mm-hmm. Gosh, this is just such a guess. It could be anywhere from 30,000 to 75, maybe, if you're the morning person, maybe.
All right.
And normally you're the one running the radio station and might have to sell some ads and do all this other stuff too. I'm totally generalizing here.
I'm not holding it to a dime.
Of course. And I am in love and want to support my broadcasting brothers and sisters too. So I don't want to like make them think I don't have utmost respect for them. I've just lived this. When you're in a bigger market, say Milwaukee, you know, you could make 50 to more, six figures if you're good. And all in right. Chicago and other big markets, they have unions, and then there's union scale that pays a lot better.
So the DJs or whatever were
yeah, so if you're an air talent in Chicago, you're a member of a union, and the union helps protect the employees and helps them get paid better.
So it
varies so much, but the overall issue with broadcasting is in a lot of places there's just downward pressure on the headcount. There's just fewer and fewer employees out there. So if someone's hearing this and you're in broadcasting, nothing but love, hang in there and do your best, because it is a great career. Mm-hmm. It was just one that I had either aged out of or just ran into a lack of opportunity. I decided to go a different direction.
Yeah, it just seems to be one of those, it's more a curiosity thing, I guess. Sure. I started going down the road, like, when I say started, I saw the first step and I was like, I don't know about that. Yeah. I got offered a job as a DJ. I think I was in college at the time and they're like Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And I'm like, everything about that sounds amazing except for the time. Yeah. And I was just like, what does it take to get like normal morning?
Yeah.
And he's like, whoa.
Yeah.
You got to build up to that and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, I feel like starting on 10 rungs up of that ladder, whatever.
Yeah.
But then I think you got all this radio talent mm-hmm. and they're essentially, I don't want to say poor, but they're just making the money that most people make, but mm-hmm. they're still kind of that local famous.
Yeah.
And you always hear about those famous people, sometimes comedians, where they're just mm-hmm. like, the worst thing is to be famous and broke.
Yeah.
Because people assume that you're just, you know, you got 17 yachts or something like that.
Yeah.
But you don't, you're just a regular Joe.
And the shame about radio people is the majority of them, almost all of them, are so incredibly talented and worth so much more than what they get. Not doing mm-hmm. what they're doing right now, like whatever they're doing right now, they're getting paid for whatever they're doing right now and they're volunteering to do it. So that's their own thing. But as someone that left the radio industry and made a career using the skills I learned in the industry,
mm-hmm.
the business itself will teach you how to write great messaging, how to get people's attention, how to present in front of people, how to sell, how to be creative, how to put together an event that people want to attend. Mm-hmm. There are all these things that you naturally learn, how to treat customers. Mm-hmm. Like so many things that you learn in radio that can be sold outside of radio, that if some of the radio people knew that, if they really understood how smart and talented they were, how far they could go outside the industry, they may realize they have other options.
Got it. So I want to talk with you, shift gears a little bit. You're at the radio thing and you're thinking, I got to get out of this. I got to pull the chute before I'm pushed out of the plane, so to speak.
Yeah.
How did you decide to go off on your own versus just taking some of that talent that you had and working at some corporate gig somewhere else?
That's a really good question. I don't know if I've thought a lot about that. If I reflect back to where I was, I couldn't get an interview.
Oh.
So I'm in Milwaukee and there are big companies here, right? They're, you know, Milwaukee Tool and Miller Coors and Northwestern Mutual, all these giant, giant companies. And they all need marketing people. So I started applying on marketing things. But I didn't have any experience other than being a broadcaster.
All right.
So I couldn't get an interview because, spoiler alert, sorry, former employees or employer, you know, I was trying to find a job for a minute before I decided to go out on my own and I couldn't find one.
Oh.
So partially, I'm not sure if I was qualified to work at some of these places on paper or on purpose, one of the two. And the other thing that I learned back then that, I wish I would have done this. How important having a personal network was.
Oh.
And how I didn't curate one. Because when you're in broadcasting, people want to talk to you. Like, let's say you're the marketing director at a big time radio station. Okay, well, great. People call you all the time. Hey, will you partner with us on the stuff? Because you have something they need. So this is totally my fault. I did not invest in the relationships that I should have invested in.
All right.
Such that when I wanted to make a move or I left and wanted to tap those relationships, I didn't earn the trust, the no, like, and trust factor of all my partners. Not because I was a jerk or anything, but because the concept of networking never occurred to me because I wasn't a salesperson. I was just a talent marketing guy.
So you'd be calling up saying, hey, 5 years ago, we did this thing. Who do you know?
Yeah. If I would have done that, I would be so much further down the road. And I totally regret it. And I had quality relationships with people and I wasn't mean or anything, but the idea of, hey, director or marketing director of the Milwaukee Bucks, let's go have coffee. Because when you're the marketing director of their flagship station, they would do that. It never occurred to me to do that. So that's good. If you, whatever it is, whatever you're doing right now, today, the most important thing you have is your personal network. And if you're not investing in it, you're costing yourself money. It was like such a huge learning lesson for me. And I wish I would have started doing this 20 years ago.
You know, it's so interesting you say that because I had my sister-in-law reach out to me and she's like, hey, I've been at this gig for, I don't know, 15, 20 years, whatever. And I'm thinking about leaving because corporate America, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, great. Let me look at your LinkedIn profile. And she's like, LinkedIn profile? I'm like, well, who are all the people that you can tap on the shoulder that you've been doing favors for the 15, 20 years that you can get to introduce you to somebody that knows the person that you want to meet for your next gig, whatever. And you look at her LinkedIn profile, she's connected to 5 people. She's related to 3. I'm like, oh, you got to build that. Because that's like, I mean, it's not the end all be all as far as networking, who you know and all that kind of stuff, but it's kind of a good start as somewhat of a Rolodex.
Absolutely.
To use to connect with people all across the world, really.
Yeah. And
so it's one of those people. Like you need to know or have documented somewhere who are the people that you know or that know you. And she's just like, I got the 5 people around me in the cubes.
And that's it.
That's it.
You get practice to show up and help people and to be a positive node in the network, be a connector, all of the stuff I could have done. And I didn't, man, I regret that. I mean, now it's fine because I'm out of the industry and whatever, but man, I wish I would have known that. So past tense version of myself, start networking. It's important.
So just out of curiosity though, I mean, do you have anything to lose by reaching out to the people that you worked with 5-10 years ago? Say, hey, I got this different thing going on. The worst they can say is nothing because they don't answer the phone. But best case, they're like, yeah, let's grab a coffee.
And I think it's not that I want to rekindle those relationships now, although I have, and many of them I've been able to have on the shows that I do or showcase them in front of my small business owners, and that way they could meet them. So I've had the chance to build some of those relationships. It's just the learning lesson that I wish I would have done that. Because if I had networked while I was in the industry, then when I get to the inflection point of what do I do next, I would have had more options, I think.
Sure, that makes sense.
So that's why I had to kind of start from zero. And I was taught by the Brookfield Chamber of Commerce in Brookfield, Wisconsin. It's all about showing up and how can I help? And if you show up and ask, how can I help? And you expect nothing in return, you're going to build a robust network. So that is the big learning lesson that has helped me try and continue to grow.
You know, it's so interesting that you say that, because I'll have people that just have their day jobs, whatever, reach out to me and they're like, James, you know anyone that does this?
Yeah.
And I'll be like, oh yeah, yeah, right here, whatever. Send them the connection. And they're like, how do you know so many people? And it's like, well, I kind of have to. We're in the people business, man. We don't, you just, that's the nature of it. Cause you had to hit it so hard.
Oh yeah.
Trying to meet all these people in the beginning and then work to maintain it.
Yep.
COVID pandemic put a little damper on that, or challenged the way that you used to be able to just walk in a networking room, meet 20 people, say hi to 10 others that you already knew, and kind of keep that wheel spinning. So it changed that a little bit.
Yeah, it sure did. Sure did. It became Zoomtastic. And now,
I love it or hate it, right?
And see, here's the thing. I have, and I'm really asking people to keep loving it, because you can move people faster, you can connect with a larger geographic region, you can make a bigger impact. It's way more efficient. I hope people continue to want to meet together in virtual, because I prefer it, because I can move faster and get more done and meet more people and serve more people.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess there's certainly pros and cons, right? Mm-hmm. You're definitely more efficient. And I mean, when you take drive time away, you take parking and all that kind of stuff. I feel like there's something missing with the versus in-person stuff, though. It's just a little, it's just different energy, different vibe.
Sure.
Maybe it's the beer that you can have in person. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. We need more beer on Zoom. That is true.
And it's a Milwaukee thing, right?
It is a Milwaukee thing. Absolutely. No, I totally agree with you. It's it is always better in person, but virtual can be really effective.
Yeah, that's fair. That's totally fair. Yeah, I've done some speed networking things virtually. And it was one of those, like, if somebody would have told me to do this before, I would have been like, what? Mm-hmm. But now that I've experienced them, they're magical. They are. Yeah, you can push through, you add, you learn. And if you don't like someone, you don't have to say like, oh, I got to go because my parking meter.
Yeah,
you click next, whatever, and move on.
Absolutely.
So that is cool. So let's shift back to the Idea Collective. Mm-hmm. What do you see for the future? Let's just call it the next year for that thing.
Sure. Well, the next year is, we are really focused on member delivery. We're really focused on creating great content inside the community. Mm-hmm. And we're inviting people to join the free Facebook group. That's where it starts. Someone's interested in what we're doing, we want to get them in the free Facebook group so they can get to know us a little bit. Because again, like I said before, if I invite someone to join the incubator directly, they might not be ready. But if I can invite them to join the Facebook group, they might get to know what we're about, meet a few people, realize it's a vibe that they agree with, and then they can join the incubator when they're ready. So the Facebook group is called Idea Collective. Right on Facebook, easy to find. We do free events inside there all the time, speed networking, educational events, quarterly planning. And it's all there just to serve and get to know people. And then when they're ready, they can join. So we're promoting the Facebook group, serving the community throughout the year. And then in November 10th through the 12th, we're going to do our in-person retreat once again. We did our inaugural retreat last year. Went great. So we're going to do it again this year, the 10th through the 12th of November at the Grand Geneva Resort in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin.
Oh, very cool. Tell me about that event. You're talking 3 days?
3 days.
All right. That's an undertaking.
It's big, and it's a great location. Grand Geneva is a terrific resort.
Yeah, very nice.
So this year, 3 days, we're going to do a day full of collective intelligence, where we have how-to sessions and trainings and workshops all day. The second day is going to be collective inspiration, where we hear how to do things differently, how to think bigger, how to challenge ourselves to grow, keynote speakers, that sort of thing. And then on the third day, it's collective transformation, where we have the opportunity to do free laser coaching with all the coaches that attend, some goal setting, some mindset work, and really looking forward into what would be 2023 all to right. help our folks get ready for the new year. So 3 days, three different broad topics. The keynotes have not been announced. We're not on sale until like May. So we're still a little premature to lay sure. out the red carpet for that. But
yeah.
The 10th through the 12th has been established. Grand Geneva is the location.
That is cool. Now, I want to, do you mind if we go down this road a little bit?
Yeah, go, please.
So you're trying to build up this 3-day event. I imagine mm-hmm. it's challenging to find people to attend, or is it? Maybe not. I don't know.
Last year was the first year. We had 107 people attend.
Did you really?
We did.
Oh my gosh. Congrats to you.
Thank you.
That's amazing.
I was surprised. It was great. And we brought in some big time keynote speakers. One of our keynote speakers was Jesse Cole, who's the marketing god behind the Savannah Bananas baseball team and all the disruption he's bringing to pro sports. He's amazing. If you don't know Jesse Cole, go look him up. His fans first theory is incredible. And then Mel Robbins was our other keynote speaker. So Mel came in via Zoom because she wasn't traveling. She just released a book. And what she did was do a virtual Q&A with our guests in person. So right. we lined up some of our members and they got a chance to get coached by Mel live. And it was spectacular. So
nice.
Yeah, it was a great first year. We've learned a lot how we're going to do it bigger and better this coming year, but it was a great start.
All right. Was it tough to find the keynote speakers?
It was expensive to find the keynote
speakers. Now we're talking.
It was not tough to find them. There, people will take your money.
Yeah, right. Ready
it was
check.
Expensive to find the keynotes, but worth it. They were worth every cent, and the user experience was awesome.
All right.
But that was one of the big challenges, and it was year one. We had to mm-hmm. find a hotel. We had to price a ticket. We had to build an agenda. We had to build a sales funnel. We had to build a website. Like all of that stuff was done for the first time. Build sponsor packages. Like all of that had to be figured out.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully for year two, we can refine and update rather than reconstruct.
Right? Rebuild the wheel kind of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. You are talking to a guy that I've tried to do 3 live events. And I am not proud to say that all 3 of them tanked.
Oh, no.
So, I mean, it's just whatever. Learning experience. Chalk it up to experience and move on.
Sure, sure.
I did not pay crazy nuts to have name brand keynote speakers or anything like that. I did have a lot of other speakers, but they were just it was train wreck. I didn't realize it at the time until the room's essentially empty.
Oh.
But it was a local thing that I tried to do the main one.
Yeah.
So anytime I hear people do in person, I'm like, tell me your secrets because I clearly don't know any. I mean, I'm lucky I had the door unlocked. It was.
It's a mix. It's a mix between user experience and content and value and
all right.
the communicating, letting people know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that was. Last year was a real learning experience. We're developing the community. We're doing the retreat for the first time.
Yeah.
We're figuring out how we talk about the Idea Collective Incubator. Like we're trying to get all this stuff done. And now that it's 22, what's next for the next 12 months, you ask?
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we can start really communicating what we're doing, grow the size of the group, and then get together in November for a basically family reunion and celebration.
That is cool. That is cool. Is the Idea Collective at the point now where it's self-sustaining, or does it still need to build in order to be self-sustaining?
Well, we're one of those kind of businesses where whatever you make, you reinvest it to continue to grow it.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had to live just on the Idea Collective, I think I could do it, but I still have some other clients that are there to help me, which is good.
Sure.
But it is, you know, it's not where I want it to go yet. And what happens is we add more members, we can continue to invest in more stuff that I want to do. Mm-hmm. So the vision that I have for it is way bigger than where we are now.
Fair.
Provided we can continue to serve our members along the way. I don't want to grow at the expense of the experience.
Right. Right. So I guess going on that question of the year, mm-hmm. what is the vision? 5 years? I'm always afraid to go out too far now because with COVID, if I would ask you in 2019, where would you be? Just like, I don't know. I'm lucky to be alive.
No, for sure. 5 years, I couldn't tell you. I mean, year one, this year, I want to get a member in all 50 states. That's what I know.
That's cool.
You know, in 5 years, I want to be, I want to be the place where people go when they have a small business. If you're a small business owner and not a member, it's like being an AARP and you're not in. Like,
all right.
I want it to be a nationwide support system for entrepreneurs who are trying to grow a small business. That's the big picture vision. Can we get there in 5 years? I have no idea. Will we listen to this in 5 years and laugh? Probably. But, sure. You know, that's what I hope, you know? I mean, I'm not saying I'm going to do it, but that's what I want to have happen.
All right. All right. And is it, what I want to ask, the crew that you have, your VA, Susie, the help and all that jazz, will that team grow?
Has to.
Okay.
It would have to. I mean, the important thing, just from a community builder standpoint, is the onboarding experience is crucially important.
Yeah.
Member engagement is crucially important. Communication. And as you continue to add more and more people to the room, it's going to take more and more people to support it. So I'm sure I'm going to have to grow there as well.
All right.
Grow. Yeah.
You have to get that employee, the dreaded employee.
Oh my gosh. Ah, I can't even think about that right now. Employee one. Unbelievable.
Dude, it's a big step, but for the most part, it's worth it. At least if you get the right one.
Yeah. That's right. Better hire the right one.
There's, I can tell you from my experience, I made a lot of mistakes when it comes to employees. I just assumed that they would be easy, right? You hire them, you pay them, they show up, they do the job.
Yeah.
No problem. The cool ones work out that way. The less than cool ones, you pay, but they don't necessarily do the job. But that said, if you get some cool ones, they can come up with some ideas and they can get some work done. Mm-hmm. That is just amazing that you would have never guess. But then sometimes you look at them and you compare them to other employees that you have and you're like, how come you can't be like that one? So I get it. You were taking on a lot. That's super cool. That's impressive.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Having that. Over 100 attendees. Was that a 3-day retreat as well? Their first one?
Half. Yeah. 2.5 days. Friday. Oh, last year was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah.
Dude, I would just drop the mic right there. Just be like, I nailed it. That's amazing.
It was exhausting, that's for sure. Like, as soon as we were done, it was like I was just a puddle of mud for like 2 days. I was just like, oh, no more. No more. But it was a great, great, great experience.
What was some of the feedback that you got from it?
Well, I mean, the people that came, the best piece of feedback that I got is that the community will never be the same.
Oh.
And that was the biggest payoff. Is that for 18 months during the pandemic, we all worked with one another to get through it, but we had never met together in person once. I had members from Virginia and North Carolina and Colorado and all these other places come in, and we literally had never shaken hands. So it's Thursday. Okay. The event started on a Friday. So it was Thursday. We're at the Grand Geneva Resort. We're loading in, and I hear behind me the voice of a woman with a very distinct Australian accent.
All right.
One of our members in Denver is Julie Callahan, the Aussie bookkeeper. And I recognize the voice instantly. And I turned around and this woman like hugs me like you hug your long lost grandma. Like it was just this immediate bond. And it was like this friendship that you didn't know it was possible through Zoom.
It
was that for 2.5 days. It was just, everybody was just so excited to be with one another and get to know each other in a different way. So that was the best piece of feedback. And we got feedback that the speakers were good and that the food was fine and that the location, you know, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But that payoff That's what it was all about, is getting people to feel like the community in real life. And that's what we're going for again this
year.
That's
cool.
Yeah.
I love it. Awesome. Pat, how can people find you?
Yeah. PatMillerIdeaCoach.com.
All right.
Pat, or join the Facebook group, hit the Facebook group called Idea Collective. Mm-hmm. Either way, my job now from the learning lesson that I talked about is I want to know people. I want to know how I can help people, because I'll never make that mistake again. So if you're listening and want to get in touch, let's have a one-on-one. I'd love to learn how we can serve you and build a relationship.
Nice. That is cool. I love it. Thank you so much for being on the show, Pat.
It's a real pleasure. Thanks, James.
I love what you have going on. And man, the in-person thing alone is impressive. The Facebook group I'll have to check out, because that sounds like it's really cool. Just building that community of small businesses. That is, I guess it reminds me of something that I used to always tell my students back when we had in-person classes, was, how does it go? I used to always tell them, if you want to start a business, this was a business planning class, right? Mm-hmm, so with crazy infancy entrepreneurs or people considering being an entrepreneur,
right?
All these different industries, you'd have someone say, for example, wanting to start a coffee shop. And I'd say, well, just find a coffee shop that you like, find the owner, and just take them out for coffee. Ask to pick their brain.
Yeah.
It is rare that you will find a business owner that is not willing to have their brain be picked, because it probably wasn't that long ago that they were in the position where you are now. And so it's interesting how I'm like trying to drill into heads that small business owners will help small business owners.
Absolutely.
That's just the nature of the business. I don't know if the corporate world works exactly that same way.
It certainly doesn't work that way in our community. In the corporate world, you wouldn't collaborate with competitors. In our group, we're not category exclusive on purpose. And if you're the type of person that doesn't want to be in a group with other competitors, then we're not right for you, because we're built on abundance and we're built on helping one another. And some of our best success stories are competitors working with one another. It's fantastic. It. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
That is impressive. Awesome. Well, thank you, Pat, so much for being on the show.
My pleasure.
This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. We're underwritten locally by the Bank of Sun Prairie. If you're listening or watching this on the web, you could do us a huge favor. Smash that subscribe button. Give that the big old thumbs up. And by all means, throw down a comment or a question. And best thing you can do is just share this knowledge with all of your entrepreneurial friends. My name is James Kaderman, and Authentic Business Adventures is brought to you by Calls on Call, offering call answering and receptionist services for service businesses across the country on the web at callsoncall.com, as well as Draw In Customers Business Coaching, offering business coaching services for entrepreneurs looking for growth on the web at drawincustomers.com. And of course, the Bold Business Book, a book for the entrepreneur and all of us, available wherever fine books are sold. We'd like to thank you, our listeners, as well as our guest, Pat Miller, the founder of the Idea Collective Small Business Incubator. Pat, can you tell us how to find you on that? Well, I guess let's start with website.
Yeah, website, PatMillerIdeaCoach.com.
Awesome. And then the Facebook group.
Yep, it's Facebook.com/groups/Idea Collective.
Awesome. Past episodes can be found morning, noon, and night. The podcast link found at drawincustomers.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. I want you to stay awesome. And if you do nothing else, enjoy your business.